All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This particular podcast is on a series or a continuation of the series that I'm doing on the Attributes of God by Arthur Pink. The basis for this podcast, this material, is a men's study that we're doing every other Saturday at the church, and I got behind on my recording, and so now I'm trying to get them all caught up and uploaded to the podcast. Today we're going to talk about the knowledge of God. There are two ways to look at this, and you'll see variations of both within this particular study. In other words, our personal knowledge of God, which we should strive to increase and to grow in, to learn more about God, not to rest on our laurels, so to speak, and think that because we read the Bible a couple of times, we know everything there is to know about God. Don't be so presumptuous to think that you and God have a good relationship and you got God figured out and that God has you figured out if you're not studying His Word, going to church, and sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and submitting to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realize in this day and age where everybody is very independent and self-focused, to think about the Lordship of Christ over their life is offensive. It's actually offensive to people, which to me is baffling because we call upon Him as our Lord and our Savior. In other words, we're saying He is our Master and He is our Savior, and therefore we are His. He owns us. He purchased us through the shed blood at Calvary. That's teaching that's quite offensive, actually, to many today, more so the liberals and the modernists within the context of Christianity. There's going to be a big surprise coming for a lot of those folks because you can't accept Christ on your own terms. You can't change God's standards, if you will, to suit your own corrupt standards. That's not the way it works. God is sovereign. He is over all, and He will not be dictated to, and He will not change the plan, if you will, His decree to suit every man's whim and fancy. That's just the way it is. And anybody that studies the Bible with any degree of interest and sincerity will come away with that conclusion. So the knowledge of God covers a lot of ground. He knows everything. He's omniscient. God knows everything about everything. He knows all about each of us. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows our life. He knows the beginning. He knows the middle. He knows the end. He knows it all. He knows past, present, and future. God knows every being in heaven, every being in hell, and every being on earth. Nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is forgotten either, with the exception of sin. And that comes under the umbrella of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That will not be charged to our account. We will not be held accountable for it. We will not be judged for it. That was already taken care of at Calvary. The psalmist covers this to a degree in Psalm 139, verse number 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. To think about how balanced and perfect God is, and then to reflect on our own imperfections. Our own imperfections. How many people really sit down and go over their own imperfections? I'm a perfect being, Pastor Tim. I'm a good person. I'm sincere. I'm honest. Have you weighed yourself, your life, your thoughts, your heart against what the Word of God says? No, don't bring your opinions to the Word of God. What does the Bible say about goodness? What does the Bible say about righteousness? What does the Bible say about sin? What does the Bible say about lust? What does the Bible say about fear and pride and greed? What does the Bible say about those things and many other things? Selfishness. Where do you fit in that category? Well, Pastor Tim, I do have a bit of pride. All right, then you're not a perfect being, and therefore repent of that pride or whatever it is that you got going on, you're dealing with, and submit it before a holy God. David understood this. David is a wonderful study, really. Study out the Psalms, study the life of David. And I didn't even study it alongside of the Apostle Paul because there's a lot of similarities between these two. I've been saying this for a long time. David understood. He understood his own shortcomings, and he correctly stated that the knowledge of God is too high for him. He cannot attain unto it. And so this is kind of where we're at. You know, the knowledge of God, and trying to take in all of God, you know, he is incomprehensible, is too much for man, especially in this world, a sinful world. We're finite beings. Now, someday we'll be in the presence of God. Someday we'll be shown all things. But for now, we have to look at everything through the lenses of God's inspired word to us. We look at God through the lenses of his creation. You know, the heavens declare what? The handiwork of God. God gets the right and proper and due praise for this creation. It should cause one to look on with awe and wonder at this world. And then, of course, humans are fearfully and wonderfully made. What a wonderful creation. God thought of everything. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." All things. Nothing gets by God. Nothing. Everything is before him. He knows everything. He knows what your deepest concerns are, your thoughts are. He knows what your sin is. He knows what your tendencies are. He knows what you're doing at this moment while you're listening to this podcast. You know, God knows everything. This is a very humbling fact. It is humbling in that nothing is concealed from God. We can't see God, and yet he's everywhere. We can't see God, and yet he sees us. Nothing, underscore, can hide us from God. Not darkness, caves, dungeons, all things are known to him. Even after Adam had sinned and he and Eve hid themselves, God knew where they were and he knew what they had done. The wicked, on the other hand, seek to banish from their thoughts any idea that God exists, any idea that God knows all things, including their deepest thoughts and sins. And yet all sin is before God, as the psalmist clearly stated in Psalm 90, verse number 8, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." All is before God, including our secret sins. Hence the reason why we need to seek his forgiveness. And not just seek it, but to know that we are forgiven, because God has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so now we see on the other side of the coin, though, having knowledge of God's knowledge, we can be comforted. And we ought to be comforted. This should be a source of comfort for believers. You say, how does God's knowledge of my sin give me comfort? Well, in one way, it keeps you humble and it keeps you accountable. You know that God knows when you sin, that conscience gets, you know, lit on fire through the Spirit and through the Word. And you know when you've sinned against God. And you say, God, I know I've sinned. I know that I've done wrong here. I repent and seek your forgiveness. And then know that you are forgiven. And God's mercies are renewed every morning. If any man sin, let him confess. And God is faithful and just. I love that text in 1 John. He's faithful and he is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a God we worship, to think about it. Really think about that. You know, we sin more before God than we confess in our prayers. You think about that for a moment. A lot of times we confess what sin we know of, but we don't acknowledge the sin that we're not cognizant of. I think David touched on this when he asked the Lord to search his heart and if there was any sin in him, basically to reveal it to him. We confess what we know, but there's so much that we do that we are not cognizant of, that we're not conscious of our offenses before God. And yet God is so gracious to lead and guide us along and to correct us. And the Spirit shows us these areas in our life that need to change. What a wonderful God we worship. But that's just in the context of sin. So let's move off that for a moment. God knows the way that I take. God knows what I'm doing today. God knows even before I know what I'm doing today. God knows everything. He knows the way that I take. He knows when I'm weary and heavy laden. He knows when I've got a great burden on my heart. You know, a lot of people mask their burdens. They mask the trouble and the weariness that they're enduring. Some people are incredibly enduring through hard times, and they don't say anything to anyone, and they put a smile on their face, and you would never know anything's going on, but guess what? God knows. And so sometimes we get into this place, I think, in our life where we start thinking, God doesn't know, God doesn't care, God doesn't acknowledge that I'm going through this, and I feel so alone, and I'm without hope, and I'm without peace. But in reality, God does know. And he gives you the solution in Scripture to cast your burden and you care upon him, for he careth for you. So he does know. Third, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. Now, you can look at that from one perspective. He knows when your heart is weighed down with life and all that goes along with it. But he also knows when there's hypocrisy in your heart, too. He knows when there are false thoughts in your heart. He knows when your heart is not as strong as it should be as a Christian. So he knows all aspects of our heart. And he knows how wicked and corrupt a heart can be. And he tells us in Scripture that we should make sure that we take care of the heart. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. God also knows our weaknesses. He knows and understands our weaknesses. And again, pride kicks in here with a lot of folks. I'm not a weak person. I've got it all figured out. I'm strong. I'm vigilant. I'm good. And a lot of these guys, and even in Christianity, they have this mindset that they're indestructible and they would never do what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so got caught doing. Be careful if you have that kind of mindset, because you have no idea what it would take to take you down. Or maybe you do. But in either case, a lot of those guys that think that way don't think anything would take them down, and then something comes their way and takes them down. You know, how many men started out in the ministry thinking, I would never step out on their wife? How many men started a ministry never thinking that they would step out on their wife, and yet are leaving the ministry, most of them anyway, leaving the ministry because of adultery, because they got caught in a situation that they said they would never get caught in? How many are addicted to any one of the major, you know, addictions, drugs, alcohol, even pornography? I would never get caught doing that. I would never be in subject to that kind of sin. I would never be captive to that kind of sin. Be careful with that. You don't know. You don't know. Be careful with those areas where you're overconfident in yourself. We should put no confidence in the flesh, Paul said. Paul was wise. Paul understood in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul understood that. We need to heed the words of God, heed the words of Paul and David and Christ, and just know that when you come out like that, thinking you're all that, you are weak, incredibly weak. But going back to the initial statement here, he understands our weaknesses. And he shores up in those areas of weakness with his Holy Spirit. Or to put it another way, he shores up those areas with his grace. Because his grace is sufficient for all things. And in our weakness, grace comes and makes us strong. And so he knows that. And grace fills that gap in beautifully. Nothing can fill that gap in better than the grace of God. So he knows and understands our weaknesses and gives us the tools to be able to navigate through some of those things with his Spirit, his Word, and his grace. And so far as our prayer life is concerned, the Lord knows a lot can come between us and God. And of course, I mentioned some of these earlier. Sin, doubt, and fear, in particular, can do much to weigh us down. But no prayer goes unheard. He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our heart. So let's keep that in mind. You know, so people will say, well, how come you pray if God knows everything and has determined everything? Well, because we're told to pray. And I think through prayer, when we talk about the experimental religion that we have, that's part of the bonding process between us and God. It's like when you talk to your spouse, right? There's bonding that takes place. You guys have a dialogue, right? When I talk to my wife, we have conversations together. There's a bond that forms between us as we have our conversations, and that bond grows stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, over time, it's inseparable. Your bond with God, He communicates with you through the Holy Spirit. You communicate with Him through the spoken word, through what's on your heart, and that bond, that relationship, strengthens your understanding of God, the experimental part of that communion or relationship with God gets better. The reason why so many people are struggling in their walk or communion with God is because the very foundation of that relationship is your prayer life. So when there's no prayer life, then other aspects of your spiritual life or the experimental religion or Christianity will be weak. Stronger your prayer life, the stronger that relationship is between you and God. And a lot of times, too, when you're praying according to the will of God. So you're bringing back into, you know, that relationship, that equation is the word of God, the spoken word of God. That, you know, that's what God wants us to do, is to be praying in agreement with Him. So again, He gets the glory and the honor for it. So He knows our thoughts and intents. He's got everything figured out. Our coming to Him is stating that He knows that, and that there is agreement between you and Him. There's confession, acknowledgement of sin and weakness and need and comfort and praise and thanksgiving that goes before God. So we put all that into our prayer life, and then through that, our walk with Him is strengthened. When we talk about the perfect knowledge of God, and I'll end here, we see it in the Word of God, we see it in prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, we see it outlined historically, going all the way back to Genesis, you know, the promise covenant with Abraham. And we see all of that unfolding throughout history. So God has perfect knowledge of all things, and our knowledge of God is imperfect but growing if you're steady, as you should be as a Christian, studying the Word of God and making application. So anyway, that is it for this lesson for today. We're caught up on the series for now, and then just look for more to come in the weeks ahead. Take care and have a great day.